You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We're living the experience of preparation for Har Sinai, and we're going to be talking about the narratives, in fact, of what happened during the Shloshim HaHagbalah, leading up ultimately to Kabbalah Satorah on the Yom Tov Shavuos itself. Now, the fact of the matter is, there is something very, very unique and very, very important about the Har Sinai experience that is so important to the Rabbeinu Shalom that in the Torah itself, if you look, Rabbi Isai, in the last page of the Bigger Kuntres, which in the last page you have a Pasuk in the Chumash from Pashas Veschanan, the last page of the Bigger Kuntres, now, you have over here something quite fascinating, where Moshe Rabbeinu now was addressing Klal Yisrael in the last year of his life, and basically recalling the events of the past, and specifically highlighting what happened from the origins of Klal Yisrael as they became Klal Yisrael, and the experience they experienced by Maimed Har Sinai. If you notice, it says over here, in the actual Pesukim on the last page, I'm going to show you very quickly where it says Sheni in the Pasuk. Re'eh l'mati cheskem chukim mishpatim asher tivan Hashem alokoi lasos kein bekev ares asher tem bor Hashem alorishta shemartim v'asisim v'yichachmach v'yanas l'ayin ha'amim asher yishmon es kol chukim ha'ilu v'yam v'achachim chacham nodoin ha'goy ha'gadol hazeh. And now we come, Rabbi Yisai, to a very interesting statement mentioned by Moshe. There's no other nation on the face of this earth, Moshe says, that can claim the intimacy and kravos that exists between ourselves and the Rabbanu Shalom. Mi goy gadol asher lo chukim mishpatim tzadikim kol ater hazos, asher noch nesil fenecham ayom. There's no nation on the face of this earth that has a religion based upon Chukim Mishpatim Tzadikim, like are contained in our Torah. No other religion has laws, rules, and regulations on the level of what's contained in Kedushas HaTorah. But now we come to the crucial pasuk, pasuk number tes. Raki Shamalacha Shemanafshecha Ma'od, Pen Tishkach Esadvaram Asharo Einecha, Upein Yasuru Melevevcha Koli Mechayecha, Vaidatam Levenech Levenevenecha, etc. We have over here in these psukim a statement mentioned that we don't have any sequel anyplace else, and that is Klal Yisrael are given over here the way the Ramban and many Rishonim learn a specific mitzvah lo saseh, never to forget the experience of Maimed Har Sinai. And in fact, the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos, I'll show you very shortly on the first page of these Makaros, counts this as one of the mitzvahs the Rambam did not enumerate, but the Ramban enumerates this as one of the lo saseis that should be contained in the Torah, mitzvah l'doros, that we have a chiyuv of not forgetting what happened and to recall and give over to the next generation exactly the events of Maimed Har Sinai and perpetuate this for all generations to come and to realize what we accomplished by the experience of Maimed Har Sinai. What?
It's one of the
yes, but I'm saying to you is Afal Pikain, When it comes to Minyan HaMitzvahs, the Rambam does not count this as the Minyan HaMitzvahs. The Ramban does. That's why if you turn back now to page number one of this Choveret, the Ramban, in his Hasagis to the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, says we don't find, unfortunately, the Rambam enumerating the mitzvah of Losas, of not forgetting Mayim and HaSinai and transmitting to the next generation. It's not contained in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. Therefore, I'm going to correct the situation and put it into my Minyan HaMitzvahs. And therefore, if you look in where it says Mitzvah Beis on top of the page, Shenimnu Shalom Nishkach Mayim et HaSinai, the mitzvah that the Rambam did not bring in, but I'm bringing into my Minyan HaMitzvahs, is never to forget the experience of Mayim et HaSinai, Lo Noser Osam et Datenu, never to miss Yichdas from it, our hearts and our minds for all of Klai Yisrael, for all generations, should remember that historical day. So says the Ramban, what is the emphasis of the Rabbeinu Shlom in giving this losase? Hakavona b'zeh gedola ma'ot. I want you to realize the significance of this losase is incredible. Why? Shemhayu divrei Torah barm etzleinu mipinavi olav hashalom b'levad. If the words of the Torah would only have come through prophets, and there would not have been an experience of what we call Maimed HaSinai, Alpha Pishin Nisambis Esleinu in Nevosu Asamovsin, even though the prophet has proven his efficacy by forecasting signs and wonders and miracles that are going to take place, which ultimately take place. But the problem is, if the whole belief in this Navi, in this Torah, is based upon miracles, Im Yakum B'Kirabeinu Navi Yachalom Chalom B'Zman Men Hazmanim, V'Yitzaveinu B'Shum Hepech Men HaTorah, V'Nosen Aleinu Oysa Moses T'Yazos Nesucha Yidei Sheini, was Yechonis B'Leveinu Safek. Says the problem is, if another Navi comes in a later generation and has the power to perform miracles and such, and he basically is now going to command us the opposite of the Torah commanded to you by the initial Navi Hashem that gave you the Torah initially, what's going to happen now is, if the whole belief is based upon a Navi and miracles and their efficacy, and you now have two Navim that are machir zu azu, the problem is, it's going to cause us to have in our heart now a suffix, which Navi to believe, which Navi is telling us the emes. Al ze omar, for this the Rabbanu Shlom said, you don't got to worry. I did not leave Moshe's efficacy, or Moshe's entire mission, or what he taught you, for the fear of what I just mentioned over here happening. I made sure that when it came to Nesina Satera, you didn't just get it from Moshe through miracles he performed, but you got it directly from me. We were able at Har Sinai to literally hear the Torah given to us from Hashem, through Hashem giving us over the Aseres Dibros. Our eyes saw, our ears heard. There was no middleman in between. We heard it directly from the Rabbanu Shalom. If that's the case, Moshe's Nevuah and Moshe's Torah that he teaches us was given direct efficacy by the Rabbanu Shalom Bechvodo Biatzmo. We didn't need Oysos and Moivsim performed by the Navi. We heard Hashem authorize him, as I'm going to show you the Rambam says as well. That would be Nachish Kol Cholef Ekomisapik Unishako. So therefore, if any Navi comes along later on and says, I have a different version than what Moshe taught you, that automatically classifies that Navi as a Navi Sheker, because he didn't have the authenticity granted to him that Moshe was granted. Lo Yilu Os, all the signs he might perform, Yilu Yasilu, Yilu Yodim Yoyfes, the miracles and the Moshe, he is not going to help. Shanachnu HaYodim B'Shakrusa B'Kuzusa. We automatically know if he contradicts Moshe and his Torah, he is a Navi Sheker. There's nothing more to talk about. Zeh She'ama B'Mayim Et Ahu. V'gam b'cha yaminu l'olam. One of the major functionalities of Maamar Har Sinai is to give efficacy in Moshe's nevuah and amuna l'doros. Shemoshe emes v'tarasa emes. And there's no such thing as another Navi coming along giving us a different religion to create what's called replacement theology. It doesn't exist. Maamar Har Sinai was the hachasha for that phenomenon. The Rambam and the Ramban emphasized this. In fact, the Rambam in his famous Igeres HaTeiman, where the Teimanim were trying to be influenced by the Yishmaelim to Shema to Islam, he says in that specific Igeres, you don't find the Yishmaelim, or for that matter, even the Notzrim, ever claiming a Maamar Har Sinai experience. They say a lot of shkarim. They say we're replacement theology, our Navi came to replace, and we're having a different Torah, but they never claim ever experiencing a sequel to Maamar Har Sinai. Anybody who's ever seen the organization involved in Kibbutz Chokhmah and Eretz Yisrael, the premier organization, Eshtetar and such, in being Makariv, the first lecture they give, we once had it many, many years ago in the White Shul, that they came over here to America to basically fundraise. So we had a whole Shabbos dedicated to them and their methodology. And they gave us a session on a Sunday morning after that Shabbos, which was an official session for people invited to come to Eish HaTorah's opening lecture. And one of the major points which the lecturer made to the people in the audience, and these were people who had curiosity but were not involved in Shemirat Torah Mitzvahs, he pointed out this historical fact. An historical fact that the Kuzari mentioned in the Sefer Kuzari, the Ramban is mentioning over here in his parish the Sefer Mitzvahs, and he also mentions it in Pashas Haskanan in the parish to the Psukim, that Maamar Har Sinai was the unique phenomenon that gave us the status of being the Am HaNivchar, of making therefore our stature as being the Am Segula, that efficacy being chosen personally by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was the Maamar Har Sinai experience. No other nation, no other religion ever had that type of designation, that type of experience. Number two, Moshe as the lawgiver was basically given as the sole lawgiver, was established by the Maamar Har Sinai experience. And when the Rabbanu Shlomo said to Moshe, you are the only person authorized to give over the Torah, and nobody after you can ever change it. Therefore, that prevented any Navi coming along afterwards and saying, I'm the replacement prophet, or giving us another theology saying this is a replacement theology. Automatically, the Ramban and the Rambam both say, this therefore makes them a Navi Sheker automatically. And therefore, this is a very, very important yesod when it comes to our entire concept of Torah Misinai, Moshe Emes, or Torah Emes. The fact that you can't forget it and the chiyuv of transmitting it from generation to generation means we have an oral Kabbalah, Ish Mi Pi Ish, going back thousands of years to Maamar Har Sinai, that Maamar in fact took place. The reason we know that is because we were told by our fathers and our fathers by our grandfathers, Ish Mi Pi Ish, Isha Mi Pi Isha, going back to the actual millions of Jews, the 3 million men, women, and children who stood at the foot of Har Sinai and basically told us we experienced this specific phenomenon as is recorded in the words of the Torah. He also points out, you go back now into the Ramban, Kavabi HaRavzeh B'Sefer Mad, I'm going to read that piece with you very shortly, Hu Yisoid Gadol B'Torah, HaManiya HaBol, and the Pasuk Zeh Pen Tishkach, Adon Sherorin Echa, Hizeh Pen Yisum Min Alev, which means now do we have not to forget it, the people who witnessed it, but we have a chiv of transmitting it to the next generation, etc. and etc. So this is basically the Ramban's point of what is unique about this statement of the Torah in Pasha Veschanan, that the concept of not forgetting Maamar Har Sinai and transmitting it to the next generation is the major sod upon which our religion and our purpose as the Am HaNivchar was established going back thousands of years ago. Now, I want to show you an interesting Rambam. If you look, Rabbi Isai, on page number 2, And in Perichas of the Rambam's Hilchos Yisodi HaTorah, the Rambam really goes further in Bia HaDvarim, but he ends up saying the same thing Ramban says, but more Arichus. He says in Perichas on the left-hand side of the page, Moshe Rabbeinu lo haminu yisur mene osesh asa. He says, don't think Moshe became Moshe, and we believe in Moshe because of the miracles he performed. That is not the reason. Shamamana pi osos yesh belibo dofi she'ef she'asa osu balot v'kishif. Maybe he's making some type of magical make-believe activity that never happened. And therefore, if that's the case, that doesn't prove he's the Navi MS. And this is important. Anytime Moshe performed a miracle in the Midbar, it wasn't to prove his efficacy, but it was to take care of a tzarech hashah that was needed at that point in time. And the Rambam gives pointed examples. For instance, he says over here, tzarech lashkiyas ha-mitzrayim. He had to kill the Mitzrayim to prevent them from killing us. Kara hayam v'atzalilam. He therefore had kriyas yamsuf. So chenu lemazon, we needed food for millions of people. Hori lanu esaman. Tzamu, they were thirsty. Bok on the Evan. We had the bear Miriam. Kafru bog adas karach. Hashem opened the earth and was baleo so to get rid of those who will be makatre gamosh and Aaron's choice. V'ken kol sharaifas. So therefore, all the miracles that were done were needed for a tzarech hashoah, for constructive and sometimes destructive purposes. Ubameh haminu bo. So therefore, if that's the case, how do we know to believe in Moshe? So says the Rambam, following what the Ramban says as well, b'maymer ha-sinai, she'neinu ra'u ar-aisor v'lozar, oznenu shomu ar-ears heard v'loacher, we saw incredible physical phenomenon of natural law being overturned and changed. He went into the dark part of the mountain. We heard when Hashem addressed Moshe, Moshe, Moshe. This is what Klal Yisrael heard. Moshe, Moshe. Leich emor lehem. Go say to Klal Yisrael, kach v'kach, such and such. The Kenu Omer, and that's why the pasuk says later on, "Panim b'panim di b'Hashem imbechem." Hashem spoke to you face to face. V'nema lo es avaseinu karas Hashem zabris azos. U'menayin shebemaimer haSinai levado. How do we know Maimer haSinai is the Rayel and Avaso? She amish ein bo dofi. Shenema, because the pasuk says, "Inei nochi boi lecha ba'av anon." Before you had Maimon HaSinai, that before Maimon HaSinai, there were people perhaps still doubting the efficacy of Moshe's choice. Nimsu, Elisha, so he says, therefore, if that's the case, we were Edom, we were witnesses to what happened on HaSinai, and Hashem addressing Moshe and addressing us, Kach Moshe Rabbeinu v'kol Yisrael Edom on Maimer HaSinai, Ein Tzorach Lasas Lehem Os, we don't need any extra signs. V'shush Omel Kadosh Baruch B'tchilas Nevuaso, V'shinos and Osas Lasas Mitzrayim Omelo, he said to him, V'shomelo Kalecha, Hashem says they're going to listen to you. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hamamin al pi osa sheyesh b'levavo dofi maharim echashev. People who believe based upon miracles he performed are not ultimately convinced. Amo v'hein lo yaminu, therefore they're not going to believe me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then said, do not worry. These oasis will only serve as a miksas proof of your being sent up until going out of Mitzrayim. But when they come to out of Mitzrayim and they come to Har Hazeh, what's going to happen? Yistalek ha-hiro shemahar ha-acharav hirur, and that's what it says. That's going to be the ultimate proof to the efficacy of your nevuah. Nimseis Oimer Shekol Novi Shiyamad Acham Moshe Rabbeinu Einonu Ma'aminam Ba'amunei Aos Levado. The only reason we believe in other Nevi'im is because Moshe told us to believe in them if they do X, Y, and Z and prove the efficacy of their Nevuah. Now, if that's the case, we therefore have with Rabbi Yisrael two Edim Ne'emanim who gave us a similar understanding of Ma'amad HaSinai, the theological importance, the theological significance. Moshe Emes, V'Teirosa Emes. Moshe was the only one who was given us the ability to yarish the Torah of the Rabbanu Shalom, Torah Tzivalonu Moshe, Morasha Kilas Yaakov. All of that was given efficacy by the Maimer HaSinai experience. The Brisker Rav points out that in actuality, what people don't realize is that Pashas Yisro and Pashas Mishpatim are in actuality, even though Mishpatim quite obviously comes after Pashas Yisro, Rashi already in Pashas Mishpatim points out towards the end that there were Nari B'nai Yisrael bringing Karbanos, which seemed to take place after Maimon Har Sinai. Rashi comments over there, a Mugdum Umucha B'Torah, and that parsha at the end of Mishpatim that talks about Moshe taking a Sefer HaBris and reading it to Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael saying Naseh V'Nishma, and then he's being Zarek Dam on Klal Yisrael, and then the Nari B'nai Yisrael who the Becharim bringing Karbanos. So says the Brisker Rav that in actuality Maimer HaSinai, from the time they came to the Midbar Sinai up until after Maimer HaSinai, there were two events taking place, one after another. The first was Klal Yisrael had to become the Am HaNivcha, have their Jewish status established. There's a Gemara in Krisus, Taftes, which the Rambam paskins in Perek Yud Gimel Hichasis Sarebiya, that Klal Yisrael and Nichnas to Kedushas Yisrael with three things they perform before they were Mekabel the Torah on Shabbos Kadesh. What were the three things? They had to undergo a Bris Milah L'Shem Gerus, which happened in Mitzrayim, because in Mitzrayim they had to undergo a Bris for a second reason. If they weren't Gamal, they couldn't partake of the Korban Pesach. So the Bris Milah served two functionalities. A Bris Milah L'Shem Gerus, and number two, for the purposes of being able to eat of the Korban Pesach. The concept of tefillah b'mikvah, tefillah b'mayim chayim, that took place in the couple days before Kabbalah Sator, that Hashem told us to wash ourselves and our begadim. That didn't just mean take a shower. That meant that the waters that they had miraculously magnified themselves, that all of Klal Yisrael were tovel in those waters, and that mayim chayim, l'shem tefillas mikvah, l'shem gerus. So that was number two. And the third fact you need when it comes to Giyur Kalacha, if you're able to, is to bring a Korban Oyla L'Shem Gerus. That was what the Nari B'nai Yisrael did at the end of Pasha Mishpatim. That was a Korban Oyla brought for the purposes of Giyur Kalacha. So says over here, the Brisker Rav, we therefore have, and he claims this Parsha at the end of the Mishpatim took place in Dalid B'Sivan, which means Kedem Matan Torah, that the Giyur Kalacha should be finished by the fourth day of Chodesh Nisan, Chodesh Sivan, before the Kabbalah Satorah took place. Kechem Kegerim, the format of Giyur Kalacha, which Klal Yisrael performed at Har Sinai, is the format for Gerim in all future generations, the Rambam paskins. So it's the Rambam's Psak, based upon the Gemara in Krisus. That's what he claims is the purpose of Pashas Mishpatim. And in fact, he says, what about all the mitzvahs contained from the end of Yisrael up until the end of Mishpatim? There's a whole bunch of mitzvahs over there. You know, what's that doing there? So says the Brisker Rav that the Gemara says in Yevamos and Daf Mem Zayin that part of the principle of Giyur Kalacha is not only going through the rituals of a bris milah, tefillah, and bringing a karban, but you have to mekabel upon yourselves all machlus shemayim and all mitzvahs. How can you mekabel something you're not aware of what it means? So therefore, there's a chiv upon the bezdim that before the megayer, tzarech lodiyem mitzvahs kulos, and mitzvahs, mitzvahs chamuchos. You have to give them an overview of the Torah for them to understand what is going to be their achrayus, their responsibility, once they're mekabel it. According to the Brisker Rav, from Eila Mishpatim until the end of Mishpatim, those were the mitzvahs kalas chamuris they received historically. That means they had all those mitzvahs taught to them by the Brisker Rav before they even heard the Aseres Hadibros. People don't even realize that. According to the Brisker Rav, all the mitzvahs from Eila Mishpatim up until the end of Mishpatim before
orientation.
Yeah, orientation. They had all those mitzvahs taught to them as mitzvahs, mitzvahs kalas v'chamuras, as a preamble. So when Klai so finally said Nasa v'nishma, they can't say they didn't know what they're getting themselves into. So they had, therefore, so in a historical reality, Pashas Mishpatim with those mitzvahs, and you have, I never counted how many you have, but you're talking about between 50 and 100 mitzvahs, those mitzvahs were said to Klal Yisrael as part of the gear before they heard officially the Aseres Hadibros. People don't realize that, but historically, the Brisker Rav says, Rashi says, Eibu Tumucha B'Teira, and that's the sequence of what took place. Therefore, Pashas Mishpatim is the Pasha of the gear Kahalacha. Our Kabbalah Satara Mitzvahs was the Nasa V'Nishma, we said in Pashas Mishpatim. We didn't say Nasa V'Nishma in Pashas Yisrael. We said it in, so that's part of the concept of Kabbalah Sabris, when we Kabbal the Bris of Torah. The fact is, Pashas Yisrael, therefore, he says, is exclusively what's its purpose? That we should experience the aura of what he calls Maimed HaSinai. That's what the Ramban, and that's what the Rambam are talking about, the experience of having the Pegisha between yourselves and the Rabbanu Shalom, hearing Hashem address you personally, address Moshe Rabbeinu, and all the factors I mentioned before. That is the tachlis of Pashas Yisrael, the Pasha of Maimed HaSinai. But now we have one big question. The big question you have to ask yourself is the following. And that is, Moshe Rabbeinu's level of Nevuah was a level of Nevuah which the Rambam says no other Navi before or after ever obtained. His Nevuah was called an Aspaklaria HaMe'ira. All other Nevi'im, their Nevuah was called by Chazal Aspaklaria She'ein HaMe'ira. So the question he asked, the million-dollar question everybody asks over here is, you are telling us that Klal Yisrael stood at the foot of Har Sinai in Pashas Yisrael and heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu address Moshe Rabbeinu and heard everything Hashem said to Moshe and heard the Aseres Hadibros directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How did Klal Yisrael accomplish that if they were not on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah ever? No Navi was ever on that level. So how can you say, I heard Hashem addressing Moshe on his level, if you were not on the same prophetic level of Moshe Rabbeinu? And the Rambam and the Ramban, everybody holds, no Navi before, and no Navi ever came to Moshe Rabbeinu's level of Nevuah. So what did they hear? How did they understand? You have to have prophetic receptors on Moshe's level to be able to hear the discussion. So I found a beautiful Tshuvas HaRashba. The Rashba says over here something very palatable. You don't have it by you, but I'm going to read you what he says. The Rashba asked the question, and he says very simple, he says that he himself was asked the question many, many years earlier by somebody of how in the world did Klal Yisrael have the ability to understand what Hashem was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu if they were not on the prophetic level of Moshe Rabbeinu. So listen to what the Rashba says. I'm reading now the Tshuvas HaRashba. He says that I want you to know something. That even though it's true that no Navi on a permanent level, or no human being on a permanent level, ever reached the level of Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu to have an Aspaklari HaMe'ira relationship, but guess what? A one-time occurrence that's miraculous can happen. So I'm going to quote you now what the Rashba says. He says, Sheyachim Hashem Izbarach Keregel L'Cholam, that Hashem should momentarily give Klal Yisrael a momentary capacity to reach the level of Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu when they stood at Har Sinai, that Hashem should be mashvi upon them Amaris Elokim on the highest level. The fact is, we find in the Torah Hashem already telling us that He bestowed upon people Koiches above their Koach. He says the biggest Raya is what comes to Bezalel. Bezalel was a young man. What does it say by Bezalel? Amalios al ruach elokim bechach metun vadas ubecham alacha who cut him b'shana ma'od, but Hashem wanted him to be the shliach, so He gave him the momentary capacity to understand Malachas HaMishkan on a divine level.
You are listening to BenStorah.com.
Chazal are telling us that by Maimon HaSinai, the Rebbeinu Shem gave Klal Yisrael the momentary capacity to be able to be on Moshe's level of an Aspaklaria HaMe'ira, to be able to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu address Moshe on his highest level, so that they can give Eidus later on, we were able to have a nevuah of a Maspaklaria HaMe'ira, to hear Hashem address Moshe and to authorize Moshe as the only person given the authority to be the Nosei HaTorah. When He gave us the Aseres HaDibros, we heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu give it to us directly. It wasn't through a shliach. Mipi HaGvura Shemayim, especially the first two, there they had Hashem not only say it, but Hashem explain, Geim Hagan Seshir, Mipi HaGvura Shemayim, the Gemara says the Makos. So the Rashba says, Klal Yisrael's capacity to hear Hashem speak to them on Moshe's level, panim upon him, Asbach Meira, was a one-time occurrence. Why? Shebecha yaminu la'olam, that your ears should hear and your eyes should see the actual minui of Moshe, being the exclusive Nosei HaTorah, your minui as the Am HaNivcha being the exclusive Am HaSegula, all of that should be given to you directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You shouldn't have any sfeikus later on. So the Rashba adds a piece over here that otherwise is incomprehensible. I found later on, the Ababanel says the same thing. I found later on, the Ritva says the same thing. The Beis Hashem momentarily gave him a capacity because of the Tzarech Hashua of the importance of Kabbalah Satrema and Maimir HaSinai. So we therefore have, Rabbi Isai, a very, very important concept of what Parshas Yisrael is all about. It's the Pasha of the aura of Kabbalah HaSinai. Now this aura had many different dimensions. So far the Ramban and the Rambam discussed the ramifications of Maimon HaSinai when it comes to what purpose? The purpose of Klal Yisrael being chosen as the Am HaNivcha, being told so, by telling Moshe that you are the only authorized person to be Malamed, the Torah Marosha Kilas Yaakov, the only person who's authorized, and therefore to set that specific phenomenon in motion, Ubicho Yaminul Oilam, Moshe Emes and Teros Emes was established by Kabbalah Satera. Now, besides that, however, there was another phenomenon. And this phenomenon I want to spend a couple of minutes upon. The Rav last night asked a question downstairs, which later on I commented upon, but I didn't have a chance really to be masbe what I wanted to say, because the time was limited. He asked the question, why is the second day of Chodesh Sivan called Yom HaMiyuchas? Called Yom HaMiyuchas. The second day. It's not the fourth day. It's not the fourth day. I have the Cheshbin of the Sefer HaTaydah, and when he gives the dating of all the events that took place, the Rishon, which was basically Sunday, they came to Sinai, and they rested that day because of Chalishas HaDerech. Yoim HaSheni, that day, is the day HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Klal Yisrael, and he said that Temer Isim, Shulam Mitzrayim, Va'atot, Tishma, Tishma, Bekoli, Shmat, Nimbarisi, Amdi Machlechas, V'gay Kadosh, that is the Yom HaMiyuchas that the Rav was speaking about last night. On Shlishi, he taught them the halacha of the Hagbalah of Har Sinai, and from Yom Revi'u on, he taught them the concept of being mitar themselves, preparing themselves for 3 days for Kabbalah Satira. So Yom Miyuchas was on the second day, it was not after that. Now, the question the Rav asked last night, which I want to spend a couple of minutes upon, why is it called Yom HaMiyuchas? Okay? So he gave various reasons, b'shem certain gedolim he saw, but I mentioned at the end that the reason it's called Yom HaMiyuchas, I gave a statement made by the Netziv. What the Netziv says is something quite interesting. If you look in the Psukim on that second day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vatem Tiuli, Mamalechas Kainim V'Goy Kadosh. Okay? Now, what was the meaning of that statement? So says the Netziv, that statement was the preamble for Klal Yisrael to understand that for them to be the Mekabel HaTorah and to become the Am Segula and the Am HaNivchar, they had to be willing to Mekabel upon themselves to be Am HaMeleches Konim V'Goy Kadosh. What does that mean? What does that mean? So says the Netziv, I'm going to historically backtrack for a couple of minutes to Pashas Lech Lecha. The question, the million-dollar question everybody asks is, why is it that Avram and Sarah were picked to become the forebearers of Klal Yisrael and future generations? What did they do more special than any other tzaddikim that existed before that time, including Noach, that they were Zoche, and the earlier generations, even though they were tzaddikim, some of them tzaddikim, were not Zoche? How were Avram and Sarah different? So says the Netziv, and I found later on the Kuzari says the same exact thing, that the Rabbeinu Shalom wanted to see, number one, who's going to be dedicated, going back to Briyat Olam, to not only observing Zayim Mrs. Ben Yair Noach, but also what he calls Inyan Eloki, to have a divine connection between yourself and the Rabbeinu Shalom, a certain Devekas, and who's going to keep that Inyan Eloki as the essence of his spiritual life, not only to be concerned with your own spirituality, but they could be concerned with the spirituality of everybody else in the world who's there besides yourself. Says the Netziv, what made Avram different than all the tzaddikim beforehand, even Shem Ve'eva, and even going back to Mesu Shelach or to Noach, was Avraham showed that he and Sarah were concerned not only for their own spirituality and that of the nuclear family, but they were concerned for the ruchnius and spiritual performance of the entire universe. That is why in Pashas Lech Lecha, before Hashem was kares a bris and gave him the mitzvah bris milah, which is the first mitzvah up and above the zayim mitzvahs that made him a different person than everybody else, what did he say to him? I'm changing your name. You're now going to be called Avraham, ki Av Hamangoyim Nesaticha. Zok the Netziv, what did the Rabbeinu Shem say? I'm now being megala to you, Avraham, while you and Sarah are being picked to become the Reisha of Klal Yisrael, the progenitors, and not the tzaddikim before you. Because you're the first tzaddikim on the face of this world that only were meticulous in Zayim Mitzvahs, and meticulous in Enon Eloki, but you were concerned for the neshama and spiritual essence of all of the members of society. I'm now going to make that your official position. You're now going to be called Avraham. Avraham, you're now going to be the spiritual mentor of the world at large. That's one of your functional purposes. To say it in a little different phraseology, the way Rav Hirsch says it, Avraham showed that for a Jew, he has to have a double mission. You have to be a particularist concerned with your own spiritual development, but at the same time you have to be a universalist, be concerned with the spiritual essence of the world at large. That was a dual mission. Avram was the only person up until that point in time that accomplished that. That's why there's a mission in Pirkei Avos. There were Asara Daras from Adam until Noach, and ultimately Hashem had to destroy Noach was saved, but the rest of the generations were destroyed through the Mabul. There were 10 generations from Noach until Avram, also Machis and Ubayin, but at the end, they didn't have the same self. At the end, Hashem kept them in existence. For Avram, Kiyam, and Kabbaskar, Kenega Kulam. So says the Beis HaLevi, following the Tzim and the Beis HaLevi were co-Rosh Yeshivas in the Volozhin Yeshiva at the same exact time. So I'm saying that sometimes you find very, 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 very on an ongoing basis a similarity in Hashkafas which they articulated. The Beis HaLevi says, you know what Avram showed? What Avram differed from Noach? Noach was concerned with his own spirituality and that of his mishpacha, and that's why he didn't go around being Mekara people. He was forced to build a teva to mefarsem. There's going to be destruction. But without the Tzivei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he would not have done anything to warn the world about their destruction. So he was forced to give a message, but he wasn't running around to Mekarev everybody. Therefore, when the Mabul came, Hashem saw there's no force, counterforce to Mekarev the world. Noach didn't have it as part of his agenda. Therefore, he had no choice but to destroy the Ganze Welt. When it came to Avram, Avram was a spiritual iconoclast, went around the whole world chasing around. He went from place to place. The Rambam in the Mishneh Torah does something in Hilchos Avodah Zarah he doesn't do anyplace else. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah is a halachist. He's a pesach. He's not a historian. But in Pasha, but in the halachas of Avodah Zarah, the first chapter, he momentarily departs from a halachist and becomes a historian to explain why Avram became the one who was picked to be the head of Klal Yisrael. And he says, because Avram did three things. Number one is, he ran around speaking to the world and telling them theological arguments to basically bring them away from Avodah Zarah and bring them back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he spoke. He was Mekarev people. Hanashamash Asha'asu Bechara. Number two is, he broke idols. He demonstrated there's no power. And number three, according to the Rambam, quoting the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, he even wrote articles and pamphlets. They say that the Sefer that Avram wrote on Avodah Zarah, theological arguments, was 400 pages. We don't know where it is. But there seems there was a book like that that got lost in history. But he left articles all over. He wrote, he spoke, he broke. Chazal is so cute. So therefore, what does that mean? He was Makariv the world. And that distinguished him. So the Kesef Mishnah asked the question, it's very nice giving all the covet to Avram Avinu, but what about Shem Ve'eva? They weren't Makariv people. I mean, only Avram was Makariv people. So says the base, says Rav Yosef Karo in his Kesef Mishnah, the difference was methodology. Shem Ve'eva had a yeshiva, but if you wanted the benefit of them, you had to register. And if you didn't register in the yeshiva and go to them, you didn't get zero from them. Avram was the, I had to say it, was the first Lubavitcher. He went out to Klal Yisrael, he went out to the whole world, and literally preached monotheism. That activity, being an outreach specialist, Avram was the one who perfected that in his time. The Rambam gives numbers. He says that according to him, there were tens of thousands of people that Avram and Sarah reached in their Kiriv program during Avram's existence. As they're saying, the Rambam talks as a historian. You don't find that in any other place in the Rambam's Mishneh Torah. But when
what
he's
happened?
What? They literally brought them back to monotheism that they should observe Zayim Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, which is all that they had to do. And that's what he did. The problem was there wasn't follow-up later on when it came to the later Mishpacha members. And that's why, ultimately speaking, the whole thing fell apart. But during Avram and Sarah's time, the Rambam says they were able to mashpil with Avram's methodology upon tens of thousands and thousands of people. But what made, therefore, him unique was the fact that he showed a concern as being a universalist. Therefore, in Pashas Lech Lecha, was what the Rosh Hashanah say, because of that, you're now being picked to become the progenitor of Klal Yisrael, because you're a particularist and a universalist. Says the Netziv in Pashas Lech Lecha, that is why, when it came to the choice of Klal Yisrael, in Pashas Yisrael, Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, before he gave them the Torah, he said to them, on Yom Yuchas, Atem to you, Mamleches Konim V'Goy Kadosh. What does that mean? So says over here the Netziv, and I found later on the Sefurno says the same exact thing, and the fact that Lubavitcher Rebbe has a whole mimer that he wrote upon this specific topic as well, and he brings other Makaris, the Chassam Sefer included, in which they say that Mamleches Konim V'Goy Kadosh means exactly this. Goy Kadosh means you're going to be particularist in your own spirituality, that's Goy Kadosh. Mamleches Konim, you're going to be universalist, preaching monotheism to the world. You're going to be an Erla Goyim. Do you accept that Achrayus upon yourself before I give you the Torah? So that was a prelude, that was a precondition. You have to resemble what Avram and Sarah did as Klal Yisrael to become the Amanivchan, to be Zoych for Kabbalah Satayra. Atem to you, you'll be. If you're willing to accept that and follow in the drachim of Avram and Sarah, who are your progenitors, then I'm going to give you the Torah. And I found later on in the Sefer HaToydah that he says what I said, not only in the Tziv says, I found later on he says it explicitly, that Abba Nishom needed Klai Yisrael to come at this point in time and do for their world what Avram and Sarah did for their world at that point in time, because the rest of the world was involved in polytheism and Avodah Zarah. Who's going to bring them back? Klal Yisrael, the Am HaNivcha, were given the job to be universalists besides being particularists as part of their mission. And in fact, the Chassam Sefer has in his Sefer, the Shelos and Shuvas, that there's a mitzvah upon Klal Yisrael lahoyreis la'umos ha'olam. It's the Lashon of the Chassam Sefer, Ham Sheva Mishra Shebei Noach, to teach the Goyish world what their spiritual responsibilities are as Goyim on the face of the mitzvah lahoyreis. The Sephurna says the same exact thing. The Netziv says the same exact thing. So therefore, I'm now going to go up Ketaych what Yom Yichus is. Yichus has really two meanings. Yichus we usually interpret to mean pedigree, but Yichus also means Yachas, connectivity. Yachas, connection between one entity and another entity. What the Rabbi Nishlam said to Klal Yisrael is, you know what your Yichus is? You are miyuchasim if you have a yachas between yourself and the rest of the world. If you have a yachas, you have a right to be called a miyuchas, and therefore that's mamalachas koyin v'gay kadosh. If you have that yachas, then you have yichus to have that specific position, amanifka. So if that's the case, it's called miyuchas because that was the condition upon which the whole choice of Klal Yisrael and Kabbalah Sateru was basically given to them. That's why it's called Yom HaMiyuchas. The parallelism between what happened in Parshas Lech Lecha and what happens in Parshas Yisro is spelled definitively by the Netziv in his Perish L'Chumash itself. But what that means, what Rabbi Yisai is that we have a responsibility as Klal Yisrael to be concerned about the Umas Olam. We call that Tikkun HaOlam. If you remember, Dr. Lenda Zecher Tzadik Livracha had an incredible burning desire. He used to say, when it comes to why we created Torah, he says, I'm not just creating it for Klal Yisrael, but I want it to be a Tikkun HaOlam, to be mashpia upon the Goyim of the Welt as well, in a positive spiritual way besides an educational way. That was his mantra. I mean, many times he spoke to me about it, and I'm telling you, this is an incredible phenomenon. That was his raison d'etre. He wanted us to teach the world as the Am HaNivcha what it means to be the chosen nation of Klal Yisrael, to bring people close to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says this explicitly. In Parshas Kisavai, it says, V'halachti b'derecha, following Hashem's spiritual pathways. It says, V'ro ka amoretz, ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yoro mimeka. So the Vilna Gaon asked a kasha, when was the last time that the Goyim saw us performing mitzvahs, and all of a sudden they fear us? What's meant this? They never feared us. He says, that's not the pshat of the pasuk. When the Goyim see the Shem Hashem or Nikrolecha, how is that? Halachti b'derachav, you're acting godlike like the Rebbeinu Shalom. Bahu racham v'ator racham, da'cher da'cher noyam. When they see the Shem Shemayim misahev al yadecha, they see you're acting in a certain spiritual way that attracts them to you. It says, wow, look how Kaddish and Torah these Jews are. Look how they speak. Look at their business and everything else they do. Elochite. When they're able to see the impact of God and Torah upon you, Yoram Mechel, they'll learn Yiras Hashem as in a role model example from Klal Yisrael. You'll cause the Shem Shemayim Mishavei Yidecha, and the Rambam categorizes that as a Lebedika Kiddush Shem Shemayim. The Rambam categorizes that in the Halachos of Kiddush Hashem as a manifestation of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. So if that's the case, we therefore see, Rabbi Yisai, that the whole mantra, the whole essence of Klal Yisrael was not only to be mashpia upon ourselves, it was to mashpia upon the Umas Olam as well when it comes to bringing them closer to the Rabbi Neshallah. I'm going to tell you a Peledika story. The story goes, and this I saw mentioned by Rav Kook. The story goes that the Ari HaKadosh had many, many great Talmidim. When it came to the Mekubalim, all his Talmidim, one was a greater Mekubal than the next. And before he passed away, his Talmidim asked him, because he passed away very young, Rebbe, how we doing? You know, before he passed, did we accomplish what you wanted us to accomplish, Baruch Nias? So he said to his Talmidim, I won't answer you now, but with one of the Talmidim, I left a will and legacy that after I pass away, he will give you over the message. So the story goes, and this Rav Kook tells the story, that after Ari HaKadosh passed away, they went to that specific Talmud and they asked the Talmud, what was the legacy that the Rebbe left for us? So listen to this. The Ari HaKadosh left his Talmidim, the greatest Mekubalim of all time, that I want to make the following comment. Vis-a-vis your development spiritually, Baruch Nias HaTaira, Bahavanas HaTaira, and your own spirituality, and your Ava for Klal Yisrael, for Taira, there's no question you have perfected yourself on levels above and beyond what I even expect you're able to accomplish. So that, I'm giving you a tremendous chizuk. But what I saw did not develop is for you to feel a sense of achrayus and spiritual responsibility and ava for the rest of the gayish avelt in which you live. I am telling you now, posthumously, that for us to fulfill our mission, b'teres nigla v'nister and as klal Yisrael, you have to develop an ava tabriyot, ava to olam, with the same concern for the human beings around the world, for their spirituality, as you develop for yourself and for klal Yisrael. Otherwise, you haven't accomplished your mission. This is what Rav Kook claims. The Ari HaKadosh left as the last legacy that we have to, and it's sometimes very difficult because the amount of anti-Semitism Klaus over thousands of years have experienced, our immediate knee-jerk reaction to anti-Semitism is what? To have a sinner for the guy? They hate us?
Isolation.
So how in the world can we show them any achrayus, a spiritual concern, a loving concern? They hate us. So for Klal Yisrael, it's not an easy mission. But nevertheless, according to these gedolim, we have to go above and beyond. Now those goyim who have to be killed because they want to kill us, that's Timcha Zech HaMalek. You have to kill those people who want to kill you. But those who are not in the Jewish killing mode, but have literally assimilated and acculturated and either are atheists or believe in other religions and other gods and don't have any animus to us, they want to hurt us, we have to reach out to them, be mekar of them, because at the end of the day, for Mashiach to be accomplished, the concept of Mashiach is the whole world are going to be monotheists, believing in the Rabbeinu Shalom. They'll see the falsehood of Christianity, the falsehood of Muslim, the falsehood of Buddhism. All the other religions are going to be disproven at that point in time. And everybody's going to be a monotheist, either a Ben Noach or a Ben Yisrael. We're not going to have any other religions, but the goyim will not be mechuyev in tayag mitzvahs, they'll be mechuyev in zayim mitzvahs. You'll be mechuyev in tayag mitzvahs. We have a principle, ein mekabel gerim b'beis HaMashiach. Why? Because we're concerned they're doing it because they want to get the benefits the Jews have, not so much because they're doing it l'shem shemayim. That goes back to my share I gave last week, l'shem shemayim v'dav acher.
The truth of the matter is, every time we attempted to enter, they didn't allow us in.
That's exactly.
They didn't allow us in. They kept the doors closed.
Exactly.
And they rebuffed us.
Exactly.
It was a terrible, terrible rebuffing of what Klal Yisrael had to offer.
Exactly.
With the reason is that you don't really mean the Shem Shemayim.
Right.
You mean for your own profits. Right. You only have an interest in your pocketbooks. That's all your reason for attempting
to be caravans
closer in
to Shem Shemayim.
It doesn't, you don't mean it.
Right.
You want
they use that as an excuse, I know. Yes. So the fact of the matter is, if you will look at the end of the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, the last chapter of the Rambam, so he explains that when you're talking about the rebuffing part, that rebuffing part will basically slowly but surely cease to exist b'mayis HaMashiach, because what the goyim are going to do b'mayis HaMashiach is, when they're going to reject everything else and believe in the Rebbeinu Shalom, is they're going to come to us and ask us, explain to us our spiritual responsibility, which means we'll be able to fulfill at that point in time. But I want to tell you something. I'm going to end with this. You're talking about rebuffing. So let me tell you my own personal experience, and then we'll dive in there very quickly. I hear what you're saying, and I'll tell you that you're honestly, for thousands of years, you're 100% correct. You had that rebuffing taking place. But I personally have seen with my own eyes there's been a change of that. How do I know that? Because you have, over here, a chaplaincy hospital in St. John's. Okay? They train world chaplains from all over. They give them. They asked me and other people who are specialists, me when it comes to medical ethics, to participate in their program to lecture to the Christian priests from around the world who come to this program on medicine and religion to serve as a malamed to them what should we do medical ethically when it comes to medicine and religion. Now, I'll be honest with you, when they asked me to do this, I was very suspect of, you know, what their kavana is, and maybe they want to get money from the Jewish community, so they want to use me as a PR tool. But when I came to give the lecture two, three times in St. John's, I had a room of 500 galochim from around the world, including from Harlem over here, Medalla Pishkevis, who we always used to think are rabid anti-Semites, and it ended up turning into a Ask the Rabbi session. I thought I was in NCSY. For 2 hours, they asked, and they were taking notes and asking questions. So it means that we see an opening over here that for thousands of years, as you said correctly, that would never have happened. That would never have happened in the time of the Crusades. That would never have happened when it came to happen at the time of Geir Sfarad. It wouldn't have happened, Rabbi Yisai, even up until World War II, because the church was behind Hitler pushing him with the Mufti to exterminate us. But something happened afterwards. And Hakamas HaMedina Kedem, the things that have happened recently, Rav Soloveitchik used to say, when Hakamas HaMedina took place, the church's concept of replacement theology, and that the Jews will never be the Am HaNivchar and they'll never turn to Eretz Yisrael, their whole theology was destroyed in the six knocks the Rav wrote. He says, you have the bittle of the theology, replacement theology taking place. And the church had to start rewriting things. The fact is, slowly but surely, you see a transformation taking place. And the fact is, you're right. Many years we tried to reach out and they rejected us. There were times in golden Spain that the Muslims and us did have an intellectual dialogue together. That, you know, was an historian. There were times that, ironically speaking, that the Christians wanted Jewish scholars to translate Talmudic texts. But at the end of the day, we see things changing now that we never saw before. And hopefully by the time we come to the ultimate Mosheh Mashiach, the golden plan of Bimam Latzim B'Gai Kadosh will be fulfilled, because at that time the attitude change will change and they'll realize it's not for money, but we're doing it with Shem Shemaim. Halavai, we should see it, and be Zeicha, be Mashiach Tzidkenu.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.